Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast. JP Finley here. As always, the legend Rich Tandler live from the Lazy Boy. Tandler, how are you, dude?
Hey, doing great.
How's the Lazy Boy?
It's comfortable as ever.
I need to get a Lazy Boy, man. We need a Lazy Boy sponsorship. Maybe.
I know. We got it. Hey, marketing. Come on, let's go.
I think that's more sales. But yeah, whoever you want to say it to, tell them to make it happen. All right, we have a really fun show coming up. We talked to Ryan Clark, who is a Washington Huskies beat reporter for the Tacoma News Tribune. And basically, we go all in on Vita Vea on this podcast. We want to know everything there is to know about Vita and if he makes sense for the Redskins at 13. Ryan gives us that information. Tandler, I enjoyed that interview. How about you?
Yeah, it was not former Redskins safety and current ESPN talking head Ryan Clark, but it was a guy who could tell us about Vita Vea, and it was good. It was in depth. We, if you want to know about the guy who could well be drafted by the Redskins at number 13, definitely stick around and check it out.
Well, and we kind of got lucky that Ryan Clark, the new Redskins Talk West Coast Bureau Chief, also formerly worked in Tallahassee and covered the Seminoles, so we got a little bonus Derwin James coverage for you coming, too. Clark's a good dude. You guys are going to enjoy that. Tandler and I need to discuss the name that has exploded on Redskins Twitter, Dez Bryant. Rich Tandler, get everybody up to speed on Dez.
Well, the Cowboys cut him, which, why they waited until 30 days after free agency started to do it is beyond me.
They kind of did him dirty, man.
Pay cut.
They did him dirty, don't you think, to wait?
Yes, no question.
Yeah.
Because now, I don't know if the Redskins would have been interested or more interested in him if they, if he'd been let go at the beginning of free agency. But certainly there are a lot more teams with a lot more receiver needs and a lot more cap money than there are out there now. So they did him dirty, but he is a free agent. Talked about wanting to play the Cowboys twice a year, which, of course, immediately brought up all the talk about the Redskins.
So I think a couple things. Dallas definitely did Dez dirty by waiting. They didn't help themselves, and they didn't help Dez. I think in the immediacy of getting cut, and the word is he wasn't even offered a pay cut, I think that's when you see the reaction of, oh, I want to stay in the division, I want to play them twice a year, I want to stick it to them. I have a feeling that in the time since, Dez's agent has said, whoa, man, chill out, we want to have as many possible options as we can, because you don't want to limit your market, right?
I think exactly.
The agent wants him to go wherever the highest dollar is. And I think there's a couple things to break down. I think Dez is still a pretty good player. I don't think he's the player he was. In 2014, he had 16 touchdowns. I don't think you're going to see that again. But last year, he was still pretty good. He caught 69 footballs for 838 yards with 6 TDs. As much as there are fans out there that want to mock Dez Bryant at this point, that would have made him the top receiver on the Redskins last year.
Yeah, I pointed out in a tweet that it's actually still getting retweeted in responses. But yeah, hey, it's not a question of him being a good player or not. It's a question of, was he worth $12.5 million? You know, I think that the Cowboys needed to move on, but again, they needed to move on a month ago and not Friday.
Right, and here's the thing. There's a lot of factors with the Dez situation. Bruce Allen has openly talked about how he likes to wait in free agency to when there are surprises, when there are guys that get cut that maybe you didn't see coming, and then pounce on them. We saw him do it with Josh Norman. We saw him do it with DeSean Jackson. Even Zach Brown last year was a late free agency addition. We know that about Bruce. There's also the fact that if the Redskins were to sign Dez Bryant, it wouldn't hurt them in their compensatory pick formula because the Cowboys released Dez. So the Redskins, I mean, Bruce Allen told me straight up in Orlando that, you know, getting draft picks, letting free agents go is a big part of their strategy right now, and this wouldn't hinder that. Plus, you know, you could say that Dez's production has declined, and it absolutely has. I mean, he hasn't had a 1,000-yard receiving season since 2014, but he's still a good player. He's still a physical force. He can still win at the line of scrimmage. The Skins don't have a receiver that does that. He can still help in the red zone. The Skins, you know, you like to think Josh Doctson could be that guy, but he hasn't been yet. I think there are reasons why you could make a case to sign Dez Bryant. However, I do not think it's going to happen, and I'll go one step further and say I don't think it should happen. Taylor, where are you?
Yeah, unless you're able to get him for a very, you know, a real bargain rate. I mean, this is a team that has $15 million in cap space left after you take out for their draft picks.
It's not a lot.
They could probably afford it on a 1-year deal. And it's not a lot. Yeah, could they afford it? Yes. But that doesn't mean that it's a good idea. I think, you know, I think they're kind of committed to developing Doctson, or at least this year, seeing where he goes, which direction he heads in. A little bit of upward trajectory last year, but you know, certainly not there by any means.
Well, and dude, Taylor, we haven't even talked about Paul Richardson yet. They just went out and signed a wideout that they think is on the upswing of his career. They spent serious money on him. I mean, now that we've kind of seen the contract structure, odds are they could probably get out of it if they had to, but I don't know that they'll want to. You know, I think they look at Doctson Richardson as their future, and if they're going to try and lock some of these guys up that will be approaching a contract next year, Preston Smith, Jamison Crowder, you know, you got to have some cash on hand. So it's not like a zero-sum decision. Hey, we have cap space. Let's go get Dez. It's if you go get Dez, you're not going to have cap space to maybe make other moves.
Right. You know, when they went and got DeSean Jackson a couple of years ago, or actually it's 4 years ago now. I mean, they were weak at wide receiver. They didn't have, I can't remember who they were. They had Garcon, and that was it. And then when they got Norman a couple of years ago, they were able to move on from Chris Culliver, who was way overpaid and who blew his salary guarantee. So they had to take some dead money there. But I think that was a good exchange for them, even though, of course, Norman quite a bit pricier than Chris Culliver was. But the point is, the need was there. They either had a flat-out need or could do an upgrade in the case of Norman. So in this case, as we just pointed out, those reasons aren't there.
Well, I don't know that you can say the need isn't there. If you can add a guy like Dez, he could help the football team, I think.
Yeah, I guess. Although, what's a need and what's a need?
Right. Yeah.
What's
okay.
A have to have, and what's a would be nice to have.
Right, like I need to make more birdies, but I need to have a car that I can drive to and from Redskins practice.
There you go.
How's that?
Okay.
Plus his catch, his the amount of balls he's catching has dipped significantly. Last year, he had 69 catches on 132 passes. That's 52%. I mean, that's approaching Terrell Pryor territory. The year before was 52%. The year before that, now this was only in 9 games, but he only caught 43% of the balls thrown his way.
Yeah, well, he had the foot injury that put him out for a while. He probably should have gone on injury reserve for the rest of the year. He tried to come back from it before he was ready, and he just was never. That was right after he signed the big, the big new contract. Right.
All right. So I think we're on the. Do you think? I don't think they will sign Dez. Do you?
No.
What level of surprise would it be, 0 to 10 for you?
10.
All the way is 10?
From what I've heard, I mean, the reporting out of there has been that they are not interested and don't even really want to look into it. So yeah. I'll go binary. I'll go 10.
Binary Tandler, that's my guy. All right, so I think we've covered Dez. Is there anything is there any angle we've left unturned there? Well, I want to tell this. I do think the talk of Dez as a distraction or Dez as a malcontent, it is very much off the mark. And I say that for two reasons. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we had Nui Scruggs from Dallas on the podcast. Nui knows that Dallas locker room inside and out. And he said players like Dez, coaches like Dez, it's not really, when he has those sideline blow-ups that get shown over and over and over, The guys seem to be okay with it. So I think that's worth pointing out. And then you talk about Twitter, Tandler. I don't know how the hell this happened. So when Bryant got released, I tweeted out, I do not think Dez makes sense for the Redskins. I do not think they should sign him, just so we're clear. From that, Will Blackman responded to me. We all know Will, former Redskins safety, great dude. And he said, hey, this could happen. Bruce Allen likes these sorts of signings. Then a Skins fan at RC Redskins responded, I get that Dak was likely the reason for the stats drop off, but he questioned Dez in the locker room. From there, Alfred Morris responded. We all know Alfred Morris. And he said, if you haven't been in the locker room with Dez Bryant, then you shouldn't speak on it. Secondhand information isn't always accurate. So when Alfred responded, at some point along the way, Dez Bryant retweeted that. So this tweet now has 533 retweets, and my entire Twitter timeline has just been totally blown up by that, because now I just have Cowboys fans arguing about Dez, and I'm still tagged in it from like 5 days ago. Dude, it's a mess. Like my phone won't, you know how, like, Tandler, we both are on Twitter enough that every once in a while this happens, and you just get like pounded on Twitter. It's crazy, man.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, such is life.
Yep.
All right. I have two things on my list. Do you want to talk about it? So last week or something, we instituted the tell a friend policy, and it seems like the tell a friend policy is working.
Got to have a few. Need more.
All right. So Pete's not here, but if Pete was here, he'd tell you. We love that you subscribe to the podcast and you leave reviews on the podcast, but if you can convince your friend to sign up and you then document that, send a tweet to Tandler and Tandler will retweet you. And then you can get caught up in the Twitter vortex that I'm in right now with Dez Bryant and Alfred Morris.
There you go. Don't say he didn't warn you.
All right. I have a kind of weird story that I'm going to tell. Tandler, I want your opinion on something. But we're going to do that. First, we're going to go to Ryan Clark. This interview's great. You guys are going to enjoy it.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? or the friends you find along the way. Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Huskies bring a blitz. It's picked up. Rosen now under pressure. That's the second sack for the Huskies. Vita Vea gets this one. And now it will be third down and long, a loss of 9.
All right, here he is. We have Ryan Clark from the Tacoma News Tribune to join us. Ryan covers the Washington Huskies, football and men's basketball. Why, Mitch? Oh, why might we be talking to Ryan today?
I think it's at my behest,
at
the big man's behest.
So Ryan, you might not know this, but our guy Mitch has a major crush on Vita Vea and has been campaigning for the Redskins to draft him at 13 for months, I would say. So we're going to, besides Mitch's scouting report, which is admittedly biased, we want to come to you, an expert who watched Vita for years, and tell us about the player. And let's start here. How do you say his name, first and last name?
Oh, Vita Vea.
Okay.
That version we know, the version that Schefter tweeted, his actual full legal given name. I speak Russian, and I'm not even going to attempt to try to pronounce that. So let's just leave it as Vita Vea.
Sold. All right, let's hear it. Scouting report from Boots on the Ground in Seattle.
You know, here's the thing with Vita Vea. I mean, he's a guy that when Washington signed him, they knew what they had, and what they had was someone with a gigantic frame. I mean, he's 6'5", 340, which, look, I think if he can get a defensive tackle that's at least 6'2", that's pretty good. 6'3", is, I think, ideal, and 6'4", and taller is almost kind of like a video game character. And with Vea, I mean, he certainly kind of fit that mold. But when you look at what he did this past season, he was a guy that, first of all, Washington's defensive line, that defense as a whole was one of the best in America. I want to say Washington finished in the top 10 in total defense. It was one of the best run defenses, and that's what they did so well. And with Vea, he anchored a line, an experienced line nonetheless, but anchored a line that the strength was the interior. I mean, he finished the year with 44 tackles, 5.5 for loss for about 25 yards, four pass deflections. He's just a guy that, and also 3.5 sacks too. And the thing is this, he's a guy that is so smart and so athletically sound that he can play 4-3, 3-4, because that's the thing Washington does really well, is they cross-train their players to where if you play defensive line, you can play tackle, you can play end. Now, granted, your build helps because you don't want someone who's 240 on the interior if they're an edge rusher. But you look around, I mean, they take linebackers, and there's a guy right now that played outside last year that played inside last year, so he's playing outside, and vice versa. And you have defensive backs that, you know, guys who played safety, they make sure they can play corner and vice versa. And so with Bea, he is a scheme-sound, smart guy that, you know, look, I don't think Mitch is the only one who wants him on you know, their local team. I think a lot of
Boom.
People do.
Yeah, Ryan, you know, you talk about, you mentioned his 3.5 sacks. Just talking about his pass rush a little bit, I mean, if you're going to take a guy in the top 15 in the draft, I think, you know, you want him to be able to play the run and play the passing game. What about his pass rush? Is he, you know, I watched a little bit of film on him. I've seen a lot of sheer power that doesn't necessarily work in the NFL. Has he been working on kind of diversifying his pass rush moves so he can play three downs in the NFL?
You know, that's the feeling I get just from everything I hear, is just that he has been working on kind of refining his moves. Because, again, I think with what he learned here at Washington under Chris Peterson, and I mean, I know you could say every program kind of has these different nuances, but, you know, I think they really take the technical details here extremely seriously. We even heard Chris Peterson say Wednesday after practice he wasn't happy because guys weren't doing little things. And I think as that relates to guys like Bea, I mean, yes, he's working on that stuff for certain. But, I mean, again, like you said, it can't just be power alone. It is technique. And, you know, he learned from a guy in Pete Kwiatkowski who he's considered to be one of the best defensive line coaches in America. Really one of the best defensive lines in America. You got a guy like Ikaka Maloy, who's defensive line coach here at Washington, that's worked with Bea too. So the point is just he's had the training needed, and also just with the way he works, the way he functions. I mean, it's something that he's going to find a way to improve every little aspect, from hand placement to footwork to different moves to getting stronger to just doing what he can to just get better.
So it's funny, you keep saying Washington, and I keep getting confused for a half second thinking about the Redskins, and then I have to remind myself we're talking about the Huskies. You shouldn't be sorry. I'm the dummy here. That's not your fault in the slightest. So you talked about something there that I want to pick up on. You talked about the work he puts in to figure out new hand placements, new techniques, all that sort of stuff. We had Tony Pauline on, who is one of these major draft experts, and Tony said Vita can be dominant when he wants to be. And you've watched practices. You've watched all the games. Do you have any questions about effort in any spot? And I know it's hard to judge that sometimes with college kids, but it's also really important to judge that with college kids because this guy's about to get handed $5 million or something.
You know, it's hard to say. Just because, I mean, from when I saw him, because, I mean, I came on the beat in, late October. I mean, you know, of course, you hear about him when you're covering FSU and you watch Washington games as you're preparing. And, like, yeah, you notice, like, okay, this guy has a high motor. I mean, it looked like he was on, you know, all the time. I mean, I'm sure he may have had one or two plays off. I mean, all those kids do. You can't expect everyone to be 100% all the time. That's just not mathematically or even possible just with humanity. But for the most part, I mean, it looked like he had a motor that was fully going. Just because, I mean, like, I look at some of the games that the Huskies had late, and with UW, I mean, there are some games where they had to kind of claw back. There are some games where, like, against Stanford where they lost. I mean, I don't know how much of that was Bryce Love being really good versus that defense having some issues versus other things, but, you know, you still saw guys like him continue to play even as they fell behind on the road, and with that loss, it ended their chances of, you know, going to the college football playoff for a second straight year.
These guys are nitpicking. We all know he's going to be a stud in the league.
You want to see nitpicking. Imagine what front office people are doing around the NFL.
Ryan, what I want to know, what's his personality like? What's he like off the field? How do you think he's going to translate from UW to the NFL?
Sure. I mean, from talking to different guys on their defensive
line. Ryan, can you tell
here
that Mitch is actually in love with him? Now he's asking you about his personality?
No, you're fine.
I can glean a lot from watching tape. I know that this guy is going to be very, very good.
No, I mean, look, you're fine asking that question. I mean, it's not like the NFL's had executive ask kids, like, hey, is your mother a prostitute or anything?
I would not ask Vita Vea that myself.
Yeah, I think that'd be a wise idea. But as far as his personality, just from talking to different guys on the defensive line here, just because we've all done different things about how do you replace him, what was he like, the general feeling is he was a really easygoing guy, laid back, extremely charismatic. You know, I think the moment that kind of set it all was the bowl press conference. And the Penn State media, I mean, they travel like the Borg. I mean, like, it is, like, a lot of people. Like, the Washington beat, we're sending three people. The Penn State beat, it's, like, everybody who covers college football in that state is in Arizona. And they were surrounded by all of them the entire time. And I think we had, like, an hour allotment. And for this hour, he just sat there and answered questions. He knew when to smile. He knew when to laugh. You could tell when he gave serious thought and serious answers. And, I mean, he's a guy that understands that moment and is really good in those situations. But from talking to his teammates, you know, they all genuinely love the guy. And, you know, the coaches, you know, they're very high on him, too. And, you know, they all say that, you know, he's a humble kid who's, you know, pretty self-made, because you look at his recruiting profile. I mean, he's kind of really what the Huskies and UW and Chris Peterson have tried to build. I know, now it's in the back of my head, like, don't
say
Washington.
No, you say whatever you want. You say whatever you want.
But to be serious, like, I mean, when you look at what Chris Peterson and his staff have done here at UW, what they've tried to do is take guys that the recruiting services and fans may not think are the flashy, sexy recruit, but by the end of 2, 3, 4 years, you go, wow, how did everyone miss the boat? And with, you know, Vita Vea, I mean, he was a composite 3-star guy. He was, by 247's rankings, the 40th best defensive tackle, the 65th best player in California, and the 587th best player nationally. And, I mean, yes, he's a player that, you know, again, Cal and Oregon, Cal, Oregon State, and UCLA were after. But he only had four offers. I mean, those three schools and the Huskies. And now you look back, I think if people could redo it, they would go, yeah, let's try to get him. So, yeah, I mean, I would say it's all those different things in the one.
Ryan, is there one play you can think of his entire time with the Huskies that kind of sums up the kind of player he is and maybe also what he can be?
I don't know if there's one play as much as it is just the image and the feeling he gives. And what I mean by that is whenever you saw teams go up against them, being the Huskies, you can tell that they were paying attention to where Vea was. And there were just times, again, just different games throughout the year that I saw. And again, I don't know if it's just one play, but there are just several where you look at him and you go, good God, like, he really is this good. So before I came here, of course, as we all discussed off air, I covered Florida State. And so I covered Derek Nnadi, who's a kid from, you know, Ocean Springs, Virginia. And I thought Nnadi was going to be the strongest defensive tackle I'd ever seen. I mean, he's a guy that squats, I think, well over 650. In fact, they say he can squat more. They just don't let him because they don't want him to hurt himself. And I've seen Nnadi fend off offensive linemen with one arm like it was nothing. Vita Vea might be stronger than Derek Nnadi, and that is saying a hell of a lot. So, again, it's the presence that he brings, and I think it's just the fact that, again, it's not one play, but he's that kind of guy that when you look at him, you're planning your scheme around what he does, because if you come within a foot of him, it's game over.
I'm guessing this is an easy answer. He's older. He's 23, right?
Yes.
Did he do a mission or I out west, dudes are older sometimes, and I don't know, but what's up with that?
Well, sometimes what ends up happening with players out here, not just so much the West Coast, but with Washington in general, is they will have guys do a red shirt, and so that's what it'll be. And so with Vita, I mean, he graduated high school in 2013, and he delayed his enrollment until fall of 2014. And then when he came in fall, he took a red shirt his true freshman year, so he really didn't play until 2015, and he had 13 games that year. And then 2016, he started five and played in all 14. And, of course, we saw what he did last year. So it was just a delayed deferred entry, which, again, one thing that Washington does is they'll recruit 25. Well, excuse me, the Huskies. God, I feel so nervous now.
Stop, dude, you're fine. Sorry.
I'm just messing with you guys. But what they will do here is, let's say if they recruit 25 players, I mean, there's maybe about 5 or 10, you know, players who will play as true freshmen, but the rest of those guys, they redshirt them and let them develop, and it's how they get these 3- and 4- and 5-year guys.
Gotcha. So we can go with speed with this. Mike Mayock and Charlie Casserly are both on the record as loving Vita Vea. I think Mayock put him as one of his 5 can't-miss guys. Charlie Casserly said he expects him to be better than Haloti Ngata. Do you see that game out of him?
You know, it's so hard to say because you think about when Haloti Ngata came out of college. I mean, good God. I mean, that guy just – it seemed like we should just, you know, accept that he's going to be the next great superstar defensive tackle. And
right.
He was uber, uber good. I think with Vea, there is an expectation that he is going to be good. But I also think when you look at defensive tackles in this league, it's so hard to predict because I remember the buzz Ndamukong Suh had coming out of college. And, I mean, he's been good, but I don't know if you ever lived up to that buzz. Whereas if I look at someone like Aaron Donald, I mean, yeah, there was some buzz, but now it's like, okay, who's the best defensive tackle? Or who's the best defensive player in the game? And you say him. And then, of course, you know, there's been people like Albert Haynesworth, which I will end it right there because of this listenership.
You're going to get our folks all fired up, dude.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, stay in Seattle. No, but to be serious, you know, I think he's a guy that can live up to expectations. You know, I think as the year went on, he kind of understood what was, you know, at play, what was, you know, just kind of out there. And, you know, I think in terms of living up to the ability, you know, I think he can, but it's like any player, you know, you can say till you're, you know, blue in the face, here are all the reasons why I think it will work out. But then it may not. And then a guy that you don't think will do anything all of a sudden becomes a star that no one expected.
All right, and I know you covered the Seminoles. Who'd you work for down in Tallahassee?
Sure, I worked for Yahoo Rivals, so the site there, warchant.com, for about 2.5 years.
So you were deep in FSU Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that's the depths of the internet, man.
That's a wild place.
You know, I mean, it's really, really interesting because before I got on the beat, this is when FSU Twitter really started gaining a national profile for, you know, being this group that
is nuts.
You say that if you say the wrong thing, like rip your mentions. And yeah, I mean, they're a group that they are passionate. And I mean, coming out here, don't get me wrong, Washington fans are passionate. It's just, it's a different type of passionate. Cause you know, here in Seattle, it's not so much the fact that you have the Seahawks and the Sounders and the Mariners and the NHL is going to be coming in a few years, but it's just in a place like Seattle, there are so many things to do. Whereas if in Tallahassee, Florida, that is it.
When they were losing games,
there was people driving around with cars that say hashtag fire Charles Kelly. In fact, there was a guy who started a website called firecharleskelly.com where he chronicled how he struggled with this, and through his faith and talking to God, it led him to the decision that he needed to create this website.
What's wild about these folks. I don't even know who Charles Kelly is.
Is that OC or DC
or something down there? Yeah, okay.
he was. emphasis on was.
All right, but since you have this background with the Seminoles, give us just the 1 minute, because a lot of folks and our listeners want Derwin James. So if you can, give us the Derwin scouting report.
Here's the thing with Derwin. He's probably one of the most athletic, versatile players you could find in college football. And going back to when he was a freshman, he was the highest recruited safety in the history of Rivals. And the debate, I think, that says it all is you think about how good Jalen Ramsey was in college and how good he's been in the NFL. You could flip a coin to figure out who was better in college and who could be better in the NFL. And I think what said it all is I wrote a profile on Derwin a few years ago. And his cousin is Mike James, who played at Miami, played with the Bucks. And when I was talking with Mike on the phone, they were finishing practice, and Jameis Winston walked by. And he said, who are you talking to, and who are you talking about? And he's like, oh, my cousin Derwin. And he was like, oh, that boy's the best safety in America, and he's going to be good in the NFL. So, yeah, like, people have realized in the state of Florida how good Derwin James could be for a long time.
Jameis is also prone to eating his fingers, so we got to kind of balance the knowledge base. I'm just messing around. Ryan, you've been terrific. I want to tell you a quick story. Do you remember the Huskies played the Ducks in early November in Seattle, and the second half of that game was just an entire downpour? Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was I remember that exactly.
So we were out there that weekend. The Redskins played the Seahawks the next day on that Sunday. And my guy, Mitch Tischler, we had had a few drinks, and my guy, Mitch Tischler, bet the house on the over in the second half of that game. Meanwhile, it was an absolute downpour outside, and the couple guys we were with, including our buddy Adam Goss, who's a Vancouver guy, we were like, I don't know about the over, man. It's raining pretty hard. I don't remember exactly how many points were scored, but I know it was significantly less than the 35 Vegas was asking.
It was less than 35, but yes, significantly less.
So just keep that in your pocket, Ryan, whenever you think about terrible bets that have been made on the Huskies. And if you ever need to write a profile on that or anything, we got a guy for you.
I'm your guy.
Don't do your man like that. That's your dude.
He did it to himself. Come on.
That's true. And to be fair, we get JP plenty, but I'll take the big time L on that one.
So the Huskies scored 3 touchdowns in the second half, and those were the only 3 touchdowns scored in the second half.
I believe the 3 touchdowns were scored like in the first
you were
8
fired
minutes
up
or so.
For like a minute. Yeah.
things were moving for a minute.
And then just the skies open. Ryan, you've been terrific, man. Depending how things shake out, maybe we can follow up with you. If Vita lands here, maybe we call you again and get the scoop from Seattle.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to.
Great. Well, thank you very much, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, you guys. Thank you.
Muhammad on the handoff and stoned at the line of scrimmage. Vita Vea.
Yeah, that's a bad matchup.
All right, Taylor, this story is going to be weird. You ready?
Sure.
3, 2. Ryan Clark is awesome. Taylor, didn't you? I really enjoyed talking with him, and I liked that he got kind of our shtick and our level of seriousness right away.
Yes, and that's important to being a good guest on Redskins Talk, the podcast.
I mean, that's how you become the West Coast Bureau Chief, in my opinion.
Exactly.
All right, so here's my story that I wanted to tell. Last Wednesday night, I went and was the moderator. I don't know what you want to call it. I did that Q&A with Alex Smith. We did the podcast. It was cool. Yes.
Right.
So I got home pretty late that night. Let's say I got home like 10:30 from FedEx Field. Local celebrity Mitch Tischler gave me a ride to the office. I then drove home from the office. The entire day, so I got to FedEx at like 5 that day. And I was so excited because there's a pizza place I love in Bethesda called Vache's. It's the best pizza in town. And I had 2 slices of Vache's pizza in the fridge waiting for me that I was going to eat when I got home. You with me so far, Chandler?
Yeah, with you so far.
I get home to find out my wife, my beautiful, intelligent, incredible wife, threw that pizza in the trash.
Ooh.
For no damn good reason, other than it was a couple days old, and she just wanted the box out of the fridge. So
that's
the story's just getting started, Tandler.
Okay.
So I'm upset by this because I was really excited for this pizza. I'd been thinking about it for hours, and
a little overly excited about the pizza, perhaps. But go ahead.
Yeah. So I look in the trash can, and it's like it's a new bag. It's a new trash bag, and it's just the pizza.
In the box?
No, just in the bag.
Okay.
And I'm like, hell with this, man. And I take a slice out, and I microwave it, and I eat it.
You know what? I saw a Seinfeld the other day.
Yeah.
With George fishing an eclair.
With the pastry, right.
Same kind of situation on the top.
Right.
That was the worst thing in history.
So my wife,
as far as they're concerned. So
my wife thinks it's disgusting. I think it's totally fine. What do you think?
I think it's disgusting.
Ah, dude.
I'm not, you know me. I'm not that much of a need to clean out that. I don't know what else might have gone in the trash that was subsequently pulled out. Maybe I don't know.
It was clean.
I don't like it.
It was clean trash pizza. And don't you think the microwave kills anything off anyway?
No, because it probably didn't get to 165. Throughout the entire thing for long enough. You're in restaurants, you know that.
Ah, dude, I was just slinging gin. I didn't do any cooking. I don't even know what you just said. So,
okay. You're
weighing in on disgusting? Damn it, Tandler. I thought you'd be... I'm leaning
towards disgusting. I get what you're saying, but I'm leaning towards disgusting.
If I hadn't been thinking of the pizza all day, I never would have done that, but I was so...
Again, that's a separate issue altogether, spending all day thinking about a slice of leftover pizza.
But the real crime here is that my wife threw the pizza away.
Now, like I said, that's another issue. That should be a point of discussion.
All right, so
you're
not much help here for me. I was hoping you'd say it was fine.
Okay, well, it was a cold. You just went into this cold. I had to tell my actual opinion.
I want you. I always want honesty. All right. Well. Shit. So you think it was gross? We'll find out.
Yes.
We'll see what the listeners say. Everybody can respond. Tell me what you think. And Tandler, we're at about 210 reviews, I think, something like that.
Right.
I think when we get to 225, we will announce a date for the next podcast party. What do you think about that?
Sure.
Is
this the one we're going to do it? Is this going to be done in lovely Ashburn, Virginia?
Yeah, at your house.
And coordinated with that? No, it's not at my house.
It's going to be at your house.
Coordinated with I will help find scout a location out here.
Yeah, it's your house.
In conjunction with that would not go over well, but we can find a more suitable location.
Are you worried about the Nationals?
No.
Not at all?
Actually, I was going to respond to your tweet the other day. Talk to me in June.
You lose games, man. We see what it's doing to the Wiz. They're the damn 8 seed now.
I know, but I don't know. I still think they have more talent than anybody else in the division. The Mets, I think, will come back down to earth. And I think when they, they're playing out without Murphy, without Eaton. So when they get those guys back, they'll be better. So I'm not worried yet.
All right. So we got to wrap. Hopefully this audio was okay for all of our audio critics out there. We are doing this remotely. I am at home in a non-lazy boy, but relatively comfortable chair. Tandler's at his home in his lazy boy. We will be back. We're going to talk to Josh Norris this week about draft stuff, which is going to be awesome. We're going to go all in on the Redskins schedule this week. Taylor, when the schedule comes out, is that worth an emergency pod?
I don't know. Let's put it up to the listeners.
Yeah, you guys tell us. When the schedule gets released, which will be this week, I'm confident, tell me if you think that's worth an emergency pod. Taylor, tell the folks what to do.
Subscribe and get it. Get a friend to subscribe. You probably subscribe if you're listening to us. Get a friend to subscribe and follow me on Twitter, CandlerNBCS.
And let's also plug our guy Ryan Clark at Ryan_S_Clark. You can also follow me, JP Finley, NBCS. Appreciate you guys. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Laviano under pressure again, and a sack by Bale.